Heavenly Father, as we do every week, open our eyes, we ask you. We know you're the only one who can do it. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and the will to obey. As we look at this passage this morning, help us to understand that you are faithful. Always. In Jesus' name, amen. Loyalty lies at the very heart of the gospel. It is central to our understanding of what Jesus did on the cross and why he did it. Either God is loyal, faithful to his promise and his people, or he's not. It's one or the other. And how you view that is going to radically affect how you live. If you really don't think that God is faithful, then you will not in any way live a life that's marked by radical obedience. If you do believe that God is faithful, then there's nothing that you would not do for him. So we have this foreshadowing of the faithfulness, the loyalty of God right here in the heart of the Old Testament. And today we want to see in this passage in Ruth chapter 1, verses 6 through 22, that God's loyalty, his faithfulness, is not always obvious, but it's always present. God's loyalty is not always obvious, but it's always present. Last week, in the first five verses of the book of Ruth, we saw this Jewish family who left Bethlehem in the midst of a famine. They go to Moab. The family is led by Elimelech, who is the husband. The wife is Naomi. And they have two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. By the end of last week, we saw Elimelech. The father had died, the husband. We saw the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They had died as well. And Naomi is left alone, besides her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. So let's see what they do, beginning in verse 6. Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. We'll read through the end of the chapter. And she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return, each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. If you're taking notes, I will make two statements. Really, I've already made those two statements, but two statements about God's loyalty. Number one, first, God's loyalty is not always obvious. God's loyalty, God's faithfulness is not always obvious. Just look at Naomi's circumstances, and that is extremely clear. In verse 6, Naomi is in dire straits. Again, she's a stranger in a strange land. She's Jewish. She's not in Israel. She's in Moab. She's a widow. Her sons have died without children. All Naomi has are her two daughters-in-law. That's all she has. And in the middle of that, she turns to them and says, I'm going back to Israel. Look at what she says in verse 8. I'm going back home. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go. So she says, I'm going back, but I want y'all to turn around and go back to your house. But Naomi said, go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. I can't help but notice in that verse 9, that what Naomi wants for her daughters is what the Lord wants for wives today. That wives would find rest in the home of their husband. Verse 9, the Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. I read that and it reminds me of what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, in this image of marriage, telling husbands that their requirement toward their wives is to love them and to sacrifice for them. And what is that if not providing rest for them? To those of you who are here this morning who are husbands, does your wife find rest in your home? Do you shepherd them in such a way that their mothers could say that my prayer that God would grant to my daughter, that they would find rest in the home of their husband? Do you care for your wife spiritually? And provide for them in such a way that because of your presence in their lives, they are inclined to trust Jesus. They are inclined to follow Him, to rest in Him. Are you pointing your wives to Christ? Naomi, I believe, wanted something good for her daughter, something that she knew she could not provide for. And so she insists that her daughters-in-law leave. And look what they say look what she says when they don't want to. Verse 11. Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Clearly, Naomi was convinced that her daughters-in-law would not find husbands in Israel. Maybe she was just reminding her of something that we talked about last week, where the men in Israel were commanded not to marry outside of Israel. Maybe she was reminding herself of that. Whatever her point is, she says, I have nothing for you, so be glad. Leave. I'm urging you to not come with me. Clearly, I am cursed, Naomi believed. She believed that the Lord's hand was against her. I mean, you can even go down to verse 20. I mean, she truly believed that about herself. We mentioned this last week. Even when she makes her way back to Bethlehem, the people recognize her. They say, look, it's Naomi. And she just looks at him and says, no, don't call me Naomi. Naomi means pleasantness. Means sweetness. I am far from that. Call me Mara because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. And she truly believed that the Lord's hand was against her. And that to me is an amazing response. very honest response. She was upset. She was sad. And she was confident that the Lord's hand was against her. It sounds nothing like Joseph. Joseph, his brothers had sold him into slavery, and yet Joseph said, "You intended that to harm me, but the Lord intended that for good." She sounds nothing like Job, who lost everything, and yet Job replied, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Naomi, she sounds nothing like David, who, when he was afraid, he said, "When I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord." Naomi didn't sound anything like Paul either. In the midst of Paul's suffering, Paul said, "But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God." There's none of that in Naomi's life. God's loyalty was not obvious to her. And maybe this morning God's loyalty to you doesn't seem very obvious. His faithfulness to you. I mean, this is important. You may feel like this morning that God is against you, or more likely, if you have that feeling, you just feel like God doesn't care. But if you don't believe that God is faithful, then you really won't live for Him. You just won't. In other words, you may be one of those people who believes that God raised Jesus from the dead, but you're just not convinced that it means anything for you. You believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, but it doesn't really make a difference in my life. And as a result, you say and you do Christian things. And you may say and do Christian things very well, but you will not pursue Jesus with passion or zeal. Don't be the man or the woman who has all the right answers, who has confidence, just like Naomi, that God does exist, that he is alive, but it doesn't really matter. God's loyalty to His people may not be obvious. His loyalty, His faithfulness to you may not be obvious, but it's always true that He's present. His loyalty, His faithfulness is always present. That's the next point. God's loyalty is always present. And as horrible as Ruth's situation was, we see the presence of the loyalty, the faithfulness of God. We see at least three examples in this passage. Number one, we see how the Lord ended the famine. Did you see that in verse 6? "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited His people and given them food." She heard that the Lord had provided aid to her people. And so she says, "The Lord has been faithful to my people, so I'm going to go back. He's prospering Israel." And this, as if to drive the point home in verse 22, "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite with her returned to the country, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest." And we're supposed to be struck by the evidence of God's loyalty, God's faithfulness to His people. We see that clearly here. It's not coincidence. It just didn't happen. We need to remember that when we experience God's faithfulness, His goodness, we can't just assume that it's coincidence. We can't just assume that God's goodness to us just happened because we somehow, it was the result of us working hard, though we are to work hard. That's why it's right for us as believers and appropriate and even necessary for us to say, "God, You have provided for me everything that I have. Every good and perfect gift comes from You. And God, You don't change." God showed His grace, His loyalty, His faithfulness to Israel. We see how the Lord provided not just for the nation to get out of the famine, but He provided for Naomi a homeland. When everything was falling apart, Naomi had a place to go. Verse 7. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. She went back to her home. And when she got there, she was recognized. Over to verse 19. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" That is the work of God. Naomi has been gone for years and years. And yet when things are as bad as they possibly could get, she decides to go back home. And when she gets home, it's not like nobody notices her. She comes into town and everybody recognizes her. Is this Naomi? That's God's goodness. His loyalty, his faithfulness to Naomi. She had a place to go. The same is true for us today. Where is our home? For those who have been redeemed by Jesus, where is our home? Ultimately, it's in the New Jerusalem. Ultimately, at the end of all things, it's that place that is to come. But today, I believe, I don't think there's any coincidence that the Apostle Paul called the church the household of faith. A home. The local church is the Christian's home. We experience the loyalty of God when we gather together as His people. And it's not a physical building. It's not a schedule of events. It's not a website. The church is the people of God, the family of God. Wherever we gather, that is the local church. And so I'd encourage you, everyone who calls themselves a Christian, but you're not a member, join a church. Identify yourself with a local church. That's what it means to be a Christian. God's people have always found a home. And as followers of Christ, that home is the church. So join a church. Lock arms with fellow brothers and sisters and fight the fight of faith together. May we as a local church here at First Baptist Church, may we display God's grace, God's loyalty to those around us. So join a church. If you are a member of First Baptist Church, we ought to celebrate that. Rejoice in the fact that the Lord has shown His faithfulness to us, His loyalty to us. So God provided an end to the famine. He provided a homeland for Naomi, and He gave Naomi a faithful daughter. Orpah, she goes back to her homeland of Moab, but we read in verse 14 that Ruth clung to Naomi. She clung to her. Ruth wanted to go where Naomi was going. We don't really know why. The text doesn't tell us why. We just know that's what she did. She wanted to be with her. And she gave up a lot. She gave up her family. She gave up the possibility of remarriage in her homeland of Moab. She gave up the possibility of greater comfort to be with her family. But look at verse 16. She is loyal. Verse 16. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts from me." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Ruth chose Naomi over her own family. She chose Israel over Moab. She chose the Lord, the one true God, over the gods of Moab. And as we'll see in a few weeks, something amazing happens. Here is Ruth, this non-Jew, this foreigner. She gets folded into the family of God. She gets folded into the nation of Israel. For us, that's an example of faith and and perseverance in the midst of Naomi's grumbling and complaining and genuine tragedy. Here is the loyalty of God in her life, providing her a loyal, faithful daughter. God's loyalty is not always obvious, but it's always present. I want to end this morning with 4 points of application from this passage. Number one, recognize that the book of Ruth is about Naomi. The book of Ruth is really about how God provided for a lonely, unhappy, elderly woman. Go to the end of the story, chapter 4, verse 16. Ruth has married. Sorry if I just spoiled the ending for you. Ruth has married and she has a child. Chapter 4, verse 16. Notice what it says. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi. A son has been born to Naomi." Whose son was it? It was Ruth's son. But I believe that Ruth is honoring her mother here. And so the people that are around them say, "Look, Elimelech has a grandson. He has a son. He's going to carry on the name." Ruth honors her mother, Naomi, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Isn't that interesting? I find that to be fascinating. The very end of Ruth, everyone is celebrating that Naomi has a son. Naomi, remember, Naomi left Israel full, she said. But she returns to Israel empty. And here we see that the Lord fills her back up. Isn't that interesting? The very end, everybody's celebrating. Everybody's rejoicing that God has provided Naomi this grandson. The heartache that it took to get to that point, it was overwhelming for Naomi. The loss of a husband, the loss of her sons. But the Lord is good. He is faithful. This book is about Naomi. Second point. The book's about Naomi, but Naomi is not a hero of the faith. With the exception of Jesus, the Bible is an account of sinners, some more sinful than others. I mean, you think about it. Abraham, Adam, David, Paul. It's a book about sinners. Naomi is presented here not as a woman of virtue. Anything but. She is presented as a sinner who doubts the goodness of God. And yet in the context of her sin, in the context of her doubt, we see the glory of God exalted. God glorified Himself through her sin, through her suffering. It's because Naomi lost her husband, or lost her sons, and found in Moab a daughter. And it's because of that that eventually this daughter would marry Boaz, and then they would have Obed, who would have Jesse, who would have David. Naomi is not a hero of the faith, even though I think the book is about her. It puts the spotlight on God, who does great things in the lives of His kids. God proved His loyalty, proved His faithfulness, proved His love. Number three, and most importantly, see the loyalty of Jesus in this passage. Ruth is a beautiful picture of loyalty. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. But it is only a foretaste of something much better. You fast forward several hundred years, a man by the name of Jesus is born in Bethlehem, Naomi's town. And he begins to teach about the kingdom of God. And he comes to a people who know that God exists. They're confident in the existence of God, but they don't believe that God is Jesus. And so they reject Jesus. They fail to follow Jesus. And in the midst of all of that, what does Jesus do? Does Jesus just put his head down and disown his people? That's not what he does. Jesus puts his head down, he picks up his cross, and he walks down the painful path of death. Jesus is loyal to all of God's promises, to all God's people. And the Bible tells us that God is committed to us perfectly, even though and even when we don't deserve it. Jesus pledged loyalty to sinners. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Ruth was willing to identify with Israel. Jesus was willing to identify with sinners. God who made him, who made Jesus to be, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus identifies with sinners on the cross. He saved us from the punishment that our sin deserved, and he made us righteous in the eyes of God. That's the loyalty of God for sinners just like us. Maybe you're someone who hasn't seen, experienced the loyalty of God on the cross. You're not a Christian. I'm here to tell you this morning that this is the gospel. This is the good news. God made you, and God made you to love him and to know him. But you are rebellious. I am rebellious. We are all rebellious. And because of that rebellion, because we are disloyal to him, just like a criminal deserves to be punished, we deserve to be punished. But God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, for us. And Jesus lived a perfect life. And he went to a cross and paid the price for my punishment. He died on that cross, but he rose from the dead 3 days later. And now we have the great responsibility, the great privilege of obeying him. Jesus says, repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. Do that, and he'll save you. Repent, turn from your sin. And turn to Jesus and trust him. That's the good news. Number four. If loyalty is perfected there, it's perfected at the cross, perfected in the gospel, then be like Ruth. At the moment of decision, Ruth chose the Lord. She left everything she had. Everything. And she identified herself with the one true God. Be like Ruth. We should do the same thing she did, forsaking everything we have and identify ourselves with the people of God, with the household of faith. Like Ruth, we turn from our old way of life and we embrace a new life, a new people, a new family. Most importantly, we embrace Jesus. We embrace him. Turn from your sins and turn and trust him. Ruth didn't have a whole lot of reason to trust in Naomi's God. Naomi didn't give her much reason to do that. Elimelech didn't give her much reason to do that. Remember, they abandoned the promised land. And Naomi really wasn't a good example of a good evangelist because she said, go back home and worship your gods. But Ruth trusted the Lord. She clung to Naomi. My question to you this morning, what are you clinging to? Are you clinging to anything except for Jesus? If you are, then you're clinging to the wrong thing. Like Ruth clung to Naomi, cling to Jesus. Come to Him to save you and to lead you to forgive you of your sins. It's the only place you'll find it, at the foot of the cross where Jesus was. What are you clinging to this morning? God's loyalty is not always obvious, but it's always present. Let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gospel, the good news. We thank You for the clarity of the gospel, the reality of the gospel, the power of the gospel. And we pray that our lives will be marked by the diligence and the faith of Ruth. And we pray that we would embrace, that we would cling to the Lord, who is the Lord of all things. He's the Lord of the church. Father, we believe, but we pray, help our unbelief. May we fix our eyes on You, the One who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. May we cling to that One, the only one worthy to cling to. Help us to do that faithfully, loyally, as You do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, would you stand and respond as the Lord leads you to respond?